once again, it is so wonderful to be able and willing to share with you in this school of ministry under the apostolic guidance and direction of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., the truths from this book of moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. This evening, we're going to talk about the four realms of prophecy as found in your books in chapter number 4. So let us begin. The scriptures clearly indicates that there are various realms of prophetic flow, different degrees of anointings operate in each of these prophetic levels. We need to have a clear understanding of the various levels of the prophetic flow and how they function in order to be able to distinguish and develop each level and to bring it to maturity and to bring it to effectiveness. The four realms of prophecy are the spirit of prophecy, that is the mantle, the gift of prophecy, which is the resident gift, and the ministry of the prophet, which is man in function, and the prophecy of scripture, which is also known as the canon of scripture. The spirit of prophecy. This realm of prophetic unction is mentioned in Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 10, which says, Revelation 19 and 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So really, the spirit of the prophetic flow is to give witness and testimony to who Jesus is. The whole book of Revelation is dedicated to the revelation of who Jesus is. This is the revelation that God gave to him concerning who he is. Go ahead. The spirit of prophecy testifies to the manifested presence of Jesus in the meeting. The presence of Jesus charges up the meeting, but the environment becomes conducive for worship, and a great liberty is felt. Now, it's important to understand when you read the book of the Revelation, chapters 1 and 2, and the beginning of chapter 3, you will understand that Jesus said the seven golden candlesticks, they represented the seven churches that were in Asia Minor. Are you listening? You find out that Jesus was in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, which represented those seven churches. Are you listening? Jesus is always, by the power of the Holy Spirit, present in the midst of his church. Scriptures clearly indicate that there are various realms of the prophetic flow. Different degrees of the anointing operate in each of these prophetic levels. And we need to have a clear or crystal clear understanding of the various levels of the prophetic flow and how they function in order for us to be able to develop in and at each level. The spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit's mantle of the prophetic anointing, which is given during the times of worship and prophetic activation, causing the believer to be an instrument for prophecy. Those who do not have or possess the gift of prophecy, and also those who are not prophets or the ministry of the prophet, cannot prophesy unless this prophetic mantle comes upon them. When the Holy Spirit's anointing increases during the flow of any particular service, all of us can learn to prophesy one by one. Whenever there is an intense flow of praise and worship, or when the prophetic ministry is in function, the spirit of prophecy comes up on and is resident within the congregation. Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. And Moses went out, and he told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of the 70 elders of the people, and he set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses. And not notice this phrase. And took of the spirit that was upon Moses. And he gave it, or he put it upon the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit that was upon Moses rested upon them, then they began to prophesy. And they did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other one was Medad. And the spirit also rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Y'all see the scenario. He had the 70 elders that he called and gathered around him, and God took up Moses' spirit and put it upon those 70 elders. But Eldad and Medad, they were still in the camp. They never came or was not even invited to the meeting. But something happened. Go ahead. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Now I want you to pay attention to this. And Moses said unto them, are you envious? Are you jealous for my sake? Now watch what Moses say. I would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. That's where we are. You see, in this new covenant, all of us, are you listening? All of us, every time we come together in a worship service, read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, every time we come together, when we begin to worship God, you notice what the scriptures say? Every one of us have a tongue. That means all of us could function in the simple gift of what? Prophecy, which is speaking forth on God's behalf when you sense him coming up on you during the worship service. Are you listening? But oftentimes we don't speak out because we're afraid, because of fear, because of intimidation. But the simple gift of prophecy, and then we have diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Are you listening? One of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. These two are equivalent to the simple gift of prophecy. Are you listening? So when we come together, the spirit of prophecy, God speaking forth. You listening? When someone prophesies, we establish that, in prophecy, you're speaking in a known language, an utterance that God has given to you. Are you listening? So when we come together in that spirit of worship, that intense worship is there, you can feel God's presence coming upon you. And oftentimes, if you be honest with yourself, you know he's prompting you to say something, but you get afraid. But I like what my spiritual father did with me, Apostle Thompson, the founder of the School of Ministry. When we begin to understand that men of God are not here to shut you down, to judge you and all that type of stuff, we are with you, we are for you. We're not here to criticize you. We're here to build you up. Remember, apostles are what? Master builders of men. And we're not here to intimidate you. We want you to grow and mature in, especially the gifts of the Spirit. Because Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:1 say, follow after charity, follow after love, but rather what? Desire spiritual gifts. I think there's no desire in the body of Christ to function in the nine manifestations of the Spirit because there's not enough activity surrounding and there's not enough teaching to push it. But the day has changed because the apostolic government has come. Go ahead, child.
And Moses got him
into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10.
And when they came thither,
to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he what? Prophesied among them. Now, this is talking about King Saul. Are you listening? Being amongst a company of prophets. Are you listening? See, when a company of prophets come together, the spirit of prophecy can be stirred up and it can get on you. Are you listening? Just because you prophesy doesn't mean you're a prophet. Are you listening? See, that's where people get in trouble. Everybody won't be a prophet because they think because you prophesy. No, the first thing that happened on the day of Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, you will find out that they begin not only to speak another tongue, but they begin to prophesy. Are you listening? Okay, go ahead, child.
When the prophets function
in the local assembly, they are the ones who set the flow of the prophetic unction and revelation for the rest of the believers to walk into. The flow of revelation knowledge inspires the spirit and the minds of the believers. And their spirits begin to bubble up and to gush forth. The external heat causes their spirits to become responsive to God's spoken word. And the word of God, through the mouths of the prophets, become multiplied and it begins to grow in the hearts of the believers. The gift of prophecy.
Now, this is the resident gift of prophecy within a believer. All right, so in order to function in the resident gift, you must be what? Filled with the Spirit. See, some people get all these terms confused. Number one, you're born of the Spirit. That's a well of water. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well? Huh? When the woman at the well asked Jesus for, Jesus asked the woman at the well for water. And the woman started glorifying the well. Are you listening? But Jesus said to her, if you knew who I was, if you knew who I was, I would give you some water to drink. And that water that I give you to drink would be on the inside of you, springing up into everlasting life. That was the well of water. But in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 11, John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one who is coming after me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. It is he who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is not a well of water. This is now a river of water. In St. John 7:37, the Bible says, in that great day of the feast, that last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried and said these words, if any man come after me, if any man thirst and come after me, let him drink. Are you listening? Because there's a river waiting on you. If any man what? Verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him come unto me and what? Drink. Read. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, guess what? We're in the day that Jesus had been glorified and the Holy Ghost was given. So we have the right to not only have a well of water, which is being born of the Spirit, but we have a right to be filled with the Spirit. All of God's children, all of God's children, should be filled with the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance according to Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4, which says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled. How many? All filled with what? With what? The Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were 120 people in that upper room, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. How about that? Mary was a tongue-talking mama. Are you listening? I believe as most Catholics knew that, they all would be filled. Because if Mary got filled and it's available to me, so be it. Are you listening? But, you know, Acts 2:38 talks about repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Are you listening? And you shall receive the gift of, turn to Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There it is, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Keep reading. For the promise, what is the promise? The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father was the sending of the Holy Ghost. The purpose of the promise of the Father is for all of us to have the indwelling Holy Spirit to the point where we are filled. Now, Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Y'all understand that? See, Jesus is the one who Jesus was the one who showed up on the day of Pentecost. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And are you listening? He's the one. Amen. That's what the scriptures say. See, I can tell y'all don't know the Bible. Matthew 3 and 11. Read it. Matthew 3 and 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Oh, but he that cometh after me, he's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall, notice that phrase, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus is the one who is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In the new birth, when it comes to be born of the Spirit, that is the job of the Holy Spirit upon you hearing the word of faith. The Holy Spirit upon your confession of faith is the agent or the one who immerses you into the body of Christ. When you come to the preacher upon you accepting Christ as your personal Savior, he or a deacon or an elder can baptize you in water, which is an outward symbol of an inward act. All right? Go ahead, child. The resident gift of prophecy is one of the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit and in the believer. The one who possesses this gift need only to stir up his spirit or let his spirit be stirred up before he begins to prophesy. He's not dependent on the external atmosphere or a conducive environment to prophesy. Though these elements do greatly help in the spontaneous flow of prophecy, when the corporate anointing level of the congregation is going downhill, the believer by virtue of his gifting or the resident gift can allow or let the Holy Spirit stir up his spirit and rise up in the presence of God to get a clear word from God. Then with the exercise of faith, he can move straight into the prophetic flow. The one who possesses the resident gift prophesies more regularly because he's not dependent on the external atmosphere or environment. Because he has the resident gift within him, he's not depending upon the flow of prophecy that comes upon the congregation. He can stir it up himself. Paul says, stir it up the gift that's in you. You know you can stir up the gift through praying in the spirit. Amen. Go ahead. The ministry of the prophet. The prophetic ministry is not an office, but it is rather a ministry. Because an office comes by an appointment. Whereas a ministry comes through the what? Call of God. Don't get those two. You may be appointed to an office, but to stand in the fivefold ministry, there's only one person that can do that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the head of the church. The Bible says when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Jesus gave and God set. So all ministry gifts can only be appointed by the head of the church. You cannot become a minister because your daddy was one. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. But, oh, y'all ready for this? That's why most ministries fail. Because some of these children who don't pay the price try to walk behind their father, but haven't taken the time. Are you listening? To be invested in the things of God so you can hear the voice of God for yourself. Now, that's one thing I can tell you. My father was a preacher. I'm a fourth generational preacher. I did not step into a pulpit because I'm a fourth generational preacher. In January of 1982, I heard God speak to me personally and say, I have called you to ministry. That voice can never be replaced. You can't call yourself to be an apostle. You can't call yourself to be a prophet. You can't call yourself to be an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. The only way to step into any of these ministry offices is by the appointment of the head of the church. Go ahead. There are two leadership offices in the New Testament church. One is the elder and the other is the deacon. These two offices, they are appointed by men. Even though those who walk in these offices could be anointed, they are set aside by men. The fivefold ministry, on the other hand, is God called, anointed, approved, and I want to use another word, set. 1 Corinthians 12:28 say, and God had set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So who? God did the setting. Jesus gave the gifts. God did the setting. Are you listening? I like to style it like the wedding band I have on. You listening? That's the setting. That's the church. The diamonds that are in it, are you listening, can be styled as the what? Gifts. Jesus gave the gifts, the diamonds. The Father did the setting. And he set them in the church as it pleased him. Now, the body is a many-membered body. One body, many members. And all members have not the same function. So these ministry gifts are members of the one body, but they have a different function because they've been unctionized to function in the anointing to impart things to you so you could edify the church, so you could do the work of the, well, number one, so you can be perfected or matured so that you can do the work of the ministry and to be what? Edified or cause the church to be built up. If the church is not growing, it is because there are many who believe the work is on the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Yet these five must function as one in order for the church to enter into its full function of ministry. Go ahead. Ephesians 4:7-11. But unto everyone of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I like that. There must be a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he let captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that's descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. That he might what? That he might what? Fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Keep reading. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man unto the what? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is that telling me? The fivefold ministry is God in the earth realm. The fivefold ministry, I've often taught this, are you listening? But it's more than the fact that the fivefold ministry is one-fifth and they all equal Jesus. Because Jesus stood in all fivefold ministry offices. I don't have time to go to all of these scriptures, but if you find out in Hebrews 3, he's the apostle of our confession and profession. In John 4, the woman at the well says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Are you listening? And we know that Jesus was a prophet like unto Moses. Are you listening? He was also an evangelist. Nobody did the signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus did in his, what? In his earthly ministry? The Apostle John recorded this. He did so many miracles in 3 years of ministry, there's not enough volume of books. See, y'all don't understand the term volume. Volume of books would mean if you have a 7,000 square foot area, the volume of books would be from the floor, wall to wall, all the way to the ceiling, no more room for nothing else. Jesus did so many miracles in his 3 years of ministry, there are not enough volume of books to cover all that he did. And here he have a whole church and we don't get the same results. Why? A lack of apostolic ministry. Ministers understanding that the first gift God gave the apostle sets the opens up the portals of heaven to connect all of us to the agenda of God. I don't have time to go into all of that, but in the book of Acts, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they continued steadfastly fellowshipping with the apostles. You cannot get it on your own. Got to be connected. Go ahead, daughter. In Ephesians 4 and 11, it tells us that the ministry gifts of Christ are gifts of men to the whole body of Christ. The men and women themselves, they are the gifts to the church. They are Christ's ascension gifts to the church. These men and women are a representation of Christ's present day ministry to the church. These men and women are a representation of Christ's headship over the church. They are a part of his kingdom authority and his rulership. They are also called governmental ministries. They are instrumental in building, establishing, and maturing, and perfecting the church. And without these ministry gifts, the purposes of the church will not be fully realized. The ministry gifts help to mature and to establish the believers for the work of service. The ministry gifts equip the believers and help to release them to ministerial what? Functions. The prophecy of Scripture. The fourth realm of prophecy is the prophecy of Scripture. It is the spoken revelation of God in times past that hath become the authoritative canon of Scripture. This is the highest and the purest form of communication from God. This level of revelation is the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is inerrant. And it is what? Infallible. That's because God breathed upon men. God's word is God-breathed, God-inspired. It's not like somebody decided to write a biography or just some story. No, holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And God breathed upon men and caused them to record his words, his thoughts, his feelings, his emotions. Amen. Now, I'd like to say this. God not only spoke his word, he had it written down. Y'all know a lot of people will tell you something in words and they won't write it down. You know why? Because I can't hold you accountable for what you said you did not say. But God spoke his word, then had it written. Say, you can talk to me, baby, because I perform my word. I not only perform what I've spoken, I perform that which is written. And here's something you need to know. That which is written is supposed to become that which God speaks. Go ahead. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Y'all know what doctrine is. For doctrine, the established order of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, God's established order, for reproof, which is the dismantling of erroneous thinking and teaching. Go ahead. For correction. Wait, what is correction? That is the assimilation of truth in our what? Thought process. And for instruction, which is a systematic application of God's word in our lives, in our daily walk with him. You got to have some instruction. See, God gives instruction. We follow direction. If God give instruction and we don't follow direction when we should be headed to the Super Bowl, then we will find ourselves at Magic Kingdom in Orlando. Okay. Extreme example, but you get the point. The Super Bowl is in Arizona, Disney World in Orlando. Go ahead. The prophecy of Scripture is no longer given today. God is no longer adding to his written word. The other three levels of prophecy must be judged by the basis of the prophecy or the canon of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Well, enjoy a great evening, and we'll see you all soon.